accession number 28674, Mr. Richard Corsbrook, Reel 3.
Right.
Now, we're talking about your time at number one Royal Signals Octu at Mons, Aldershot, Mons Barracks, Aldershot. Now, anything else about your training there that you recall, subjects that you were doing or incidents that occurred during?
I mean, quite well. There was a very. I said something about the lectures on military history and military law. There was a most boring lecturer who gave us lectures, and it drove me to learning to smoke. I mean, that's a purely irrelevant thing, but one started to smoke during lectures at the Octu and Aldershot because they were so bloody boring. Oh, this was an elderly officer who had been dragged out of retirement and who was giving lectures on military law and the structure of the army. And you weren't bloody interested. You really wanted to get out there and play at being a signals officer. And we did. I mean, all the things we did. Yes, I mean, I'm beginning to come back now. I mean, we had great fun trying to use an automatic. There was the signals, when they laid field cable, don't forget, these are the days not far removed from the First War, when communication was not by multi-core cable or all secure radio. It was your D3 and your D8 field cable, 8 steel strands and one copper one.
So basically telephone wire.
You could say that, but it was for table or telephone. And we had they had a machine which had been designed to be drawn by a horse. It was a carriage. It was drawn by a horse, which would spew cable out as you went along. So the idea was, you wanted your signals cable from A to B, and B was across a heath, flat, of course, and you could spew your cable out. The fact that we never did it that way, either you were tangled up with the nearest hedge, or the thing had jammed anyway. But that was one of the things we remember trying to make work. Yes, and all and lots of the work schemes round the Surrey, round that part of Surrey or Berkshire, whatever it is. Schemes. What's a scheme? You sit in a radio truck and pass a message and go and do something else and imagine the troops have moved and what else do we do there? I used to cycle home to Ruislip every couple of weeks. I mean, that was better training than doing anything else. Because Mother was still living in Ruislip, and it amazes me how far that was. It was 40 odd miles each way.
Had your father been called up?
He wasn't living at home. Let's leave it like that.
Now, how did the training progress? I mean, was there a progression through it, or was it just sort of a lot?
No, it was a lot. It would be in sections. You would do your, you would be trained on the number 9 set or number 10 set. No, it wasn't 10 set. It wasn't out then. The number 9 set, the number. Oh, there were 10 set, was that, yes. You would be trained in great detail on these separate bits of equipment.
What about things like batteries and keeping, you know?
I mean, the obvious lecture on the lead acid battery and how to maintain it. It was a good technical course. It was more technical than anything, obviously, and it was a technical course on doing the things that the signals did. Even to the extent of overhead lines, post office lines. It was then post office, now we're British Telecom. And a good training. Teleprinters? No,
did we did. Much on them?
No, next to the on the next course I did was teleprinters.
Now, were you learning how to behave as an officer? You
know, yes, yes.
Tell me about
I mean,
that.
It was. We were more or less, but more or less in a mess. In other words, you didn't do kitchen fatigues. You didn't do. You didn't have to take turns to slop out or wake the. You were looked after, and you had therefore it was more an atmosphere than any direction. You were always being reminded that you were going to be the officer. You were going to be responsible for your blokes. You're going to be an example to them in as many ways as possible. No, there was no direct how to be an officer, but it would be politically incorrect these days anyway. But it was a relatively relaxed way of going on.
Now, what was the success or failure rate?
I don't think I ever remember anybody being chucked out. I think we may have lost about one person in a squad of about 30. Very low. Either was because they wanted the people through, or the intake was good. It was pretty good.
So what happens next? What's the next thing you remember?
Then, the next thing I can remember is that while we were there. Obviously, as one got on, we're talking about November in round figures to May.
To May 41.
In May 41.
So it's a 6 month course.
6 months course. I've assumed it was 6 months. Everything happens in May, June. You were obviously told you were going to have to, you were going to buy officer's uniform. And you were told that you would get a grant, you would get money for it. And at some point, Mr. Gieves, the military tailor, came to see you, and you decided you would go to Mr. Gieves, not to Mr. one of the others. And he came, measured you, and took away your order for your uniform. And in due course, before you left, your uniform arrived. I don't know the money was either put into one's account. One had to open a proper. One was told to open a proper bank account with Cox and Kings, are the usual one we use. Cox and Kings being the Royal Signals, if not the whole of the army, were the cashiers for the whole of the army anyway, and. Then that was it. One was an officer. There was no ceremony, as far as I can recall. Not like they have at Sandhurst these days.
So there's no commissioning parade or anything.
No
like
commissioning
that?
Parade. No, it was a war on. As far as I remember, I mean, you may get the conflict from somewhere else, but.
So you were commissioned as an officer around about May 1941.
Yeah, and as I had been selected to go on. To Catterick on the advanced lines on the advanced lines course, which therefore was going to emphasise on the advanced technology in connection with line communication as opposed to wireless communication.
Now, tell me about this course. Who was running the course?
It was run. Names escape me, but it was run at the Royal. It was run at the School of Signals at Catterick. It started at the School of Signals at Catterick, and then we were up there and we went up there for, now let's think how long that was. Another 6 months, I suppose. May, June, July. I think for another 6 months, for another 6 months course at the, up at the School of Signals. There you dealt...
Now, what is the advanced lines? Because I mean, it sounds a long time to be doing. What exactly were you learning?
You were learning the extreme detail. Whereas the Octu course had taught you what there was and how to operate it, we were taught how it worked. And which was absolute heaven as far as I was concerned, because, you know, my previous wireless experience, and it was all valves and things. And they dealt in great detail with all the apparatus that you were likely to use to come across online in the line communication in connection with signals. And it included included a spell which must have been at the beginning of the course at the post office, British Telecom, post office school at Cambridge, where we were taught in great detail the workings of the post office system, the post office telephone system. The principle being that we had to know about commercial telephone systems, because if we were an invading force taking over a telephone system, we'd have to know broadly the principle on which it worked, because we'd have to get it working. And I remember explanations on the London London automatic telephone system, which would drive you mad anyway, and quite extensively detailed lecture lessons on the on telephones in general. And we were there because we were there during the after the Russia invaded the Germans invaded Russia, because we were in opposite the post office in Cambridge, and a man selling newspapers outside the post office was shouting heavy German losses every day. Well, they weren't heavy German losses, they were heavy Russian losses, but within weeks of the invasion of Russia by Germany. And we stayed there for I can't remember. We were there. I met my first wife there. I mean, because she was living in the next boarding house. We were put in boarding houses there. So we were, leading a perfectly ordinary life. She was in one boarding house. I was in another. She was on a civil service course. And we were there May, June, there for about 3 months, I suppose.
So it's sort of
and
half the course of
half
Catterick
the course and half the course. Then we went up to Catterick, where we dealt in detail with all the army equipment, various sorts. I mean, we really went in detail. To the state that you were, whether you were expected it or not. I mean, I could draw out the circuit of all the most of the army line communication equipment from my head. So that was what it taught you.
So basically, you could repair anything as well.
That was the idea. I mean, you could repair it. You also, if you repaired it, you knew how it worked. Certainly repair it, and certainly if you knew how it worked, you knew what you could use it for, what it could be used for, and how you couldn't.
Do you know the numbers of the sets you dealt with? I mean,
I can't remember. I can remember. I'm not going to be. There was a box about that size which enabled
about
you.
About a foot and a half by.
Yeah, in a grain box. Bloody great, lovely valves in it, which was enabled you to transmit at least one or two telegraph channels. That's a telegraph channel where, I mean, by that I mean a mark space. Could be a Morse key, could be a teleprinter. S plus D, speech plus duplex, two telegraph channels and a speech channel on one pair of wires. There were certainly other equipments which we certainly were in racks. We were certainly taught the fundamentals of carrier telephone equipment.
What about teleprinters? Was this where you did?
They tried to teach us how the teleprinter worked. Well, they tried to convince us that the man who had invented it was a madman, and therefore it was beyond anybody's capability to mend a teleprinter. But we did work on teleprinters. We did learn. We did. I remembered for a long time some of the detail of a teleprinter.
So you were doing all this, quite hard work. Quite mentally taxing work.
Oh yes.
But you enjoyed it.
Oh God, yes, yeah. And that lasted until.
Now, can I just add, when you've got your circuits, obviously, and you've got your components for a while.
Yeah.
Did you actually understand how, say, a valve worked? I mean,
yes.
You went right down inside.
Yes. Yes, I mean, we must have done basic valve electronics. I mean, it's one of these things which one knew anyway. One had acquired, even if one hadn't learned it. But yes, we did all the fundamental components operations of, and I mean I've still got some of the lectures at the post office school were quite technical, were quite theoretical. I mean the theory of it's all coming back line impedance measuring. If you're not an engineer, it won't mean anything. But you can you can put a signal down a line and take measurements over a frequency range, S and K curves they were called, or they are called, and you can interpret the performance of the line. Oh, it was a good fundamental a good fundamental training.
What's your life like? You're an officer now. What are your conditions like at Catterick?
Wonderful. We were living in the number one signals mess, which was a pre-war rearmament building. Don't forget, a lot of building had taken place generally in military centres and taken place in the 30s, and they'd built quite large barrack blocks, and these standard large messes, central hall, dining room off one side, drawing, sitting room, ante room on the other, long tables, polished, everything, top hole, bedrooms on the first floor. Everybody disappeared after lunch for a sleep. I mean, this was one almost, so we didn't have to rush back. I mean, 12:30 to 2 or something. Oh, it was luxurious living. It was the best living we had during most of the war, if I...
What about guest nights or formal nights?
Yes, we had...
What was an officer's guest night like there at Catterick?
We only had one uniform, of course. We didn't have dress uniform in that point of the war. Yes, we would have had guest nights. We would be properly dressed, properly disciplined, rather more ceremonial than usual, drinking the toasts, quite formal. Not as it would have been before the war, and became after the war. But I mean, we had to behave ourselves, and the colonel, came in and Don't remember it in great detail, but yes, it was formal.
What about drinking? You know, some units are quite hard drinking, others aren't.
No.
What was yours like?
No,
or this, or
we didn't drink a lot. We drank as much as we could afford.
What was the drink of choice for you?
Beer, I think. Or whatever beer it was.
So you hadn't got on to whiskey?
I hadn't got on to whiskey. I remember, yeah, I mean, going on a bit, I remember a dreadful occasion with two dreadful occasions with whiskey, but one was in Mill Hill and the other was in, it was in the middle of Persia.
We'll come to now, what about mess games? You know, the fooling.
No, there wasn't any. There wasn't. I think at that point in the war, the lightheartedness of the pre-war mess had disappeared. And we were all much too interested in taking life very seriously, what we were doing. And we don't forget, we were quite busy, but...
Would you talk shop in the mess?
Oh, yes, unfortunately, yes. I mean, not supposed to, we were not supposed to, but you would talk about vaguely what you were doing. But it was a lovely time, and we were up with good accommodation.
Any bombing of the camp or nearby?
Oh, no. The nearest bombing I saw, used to see, and it may have been when I was up there in the in 1940, we used to see from when we were out on guard duty, we'd look at the decoy fires across on the Cleveland Hills when they were trying to convince Jerry that he'd actually hit Middlesbrough but hadn't. They'd light up fires. We used to see those. But no, I never remember any attempt at bombing Catrick. I was only there, of course, I was there in 41. I was only there in 40 and then again in 41. When London was getting a bit of a beating. But, and yes, we used to know that raids were going on over on the coast, but nothing ever came across that way.
So what happens next then? You're there about 6 months.
Yeah, and then you are posted. Now begins a period of well, okay, I'll come to it in a minute. That posted to number one air formation signals. Who was situated at in Hendon Hall Hotel, and they were a bit of a scrub. They were a bit of a unit that were really there to collect troops together to send them overseas.
And you went there November 1941.
November 1941, in round figures, could have been October.
Near enough,
and. Eventually there, and there was, I didn't do anything very important there.
Now, was it really just a sort of a holding?
It was mainly a holding unit, but had some sort of responsibility for keeping signals personnel at Air Force bases. For example, we had people up on the Shetlands, because I remember plotting their rail journey up there once. And I was very much just a sort of, I don't know, in the office, as far as I remember.
So the unit also sent signal officers to Air Force bases?
Yeah, maintained a signal presence at Air Force bases. I mean, not only officers, but they can maintain the Royal Signal Service.
Now, what about you? You were in the office. What were your office duties?
I can't remember what the hell I did until the unit moved to Merstham in Surrey.
How do you spell that?
M-E-R-S-T-H-A-M. and I took over a line section. This would have been very, very soon after I came out of, after I came down from Catterick.
Now, what is a line section?
Well, a line section is a gaggle of blokes, 20 or so in number, I suppose, sergeant, couple of corporals, a few lance corporals, and a lot of signalmen. They are there to erect signal lines of all sorts. So they had one of these mythical machines that spewed out cable across the desert. They also could put up telegraph poles and string wires from telegraph poles, and that was basically what we had a troop to do, a section to do.
Would you lay what lines between? I mean, where did they need lined laying?
Well, no, not in Merstham they didn't, but they were going to. They were going to when we went to war.
Right, so this is
so. I mean, we didn't actually do anything in Merstham except having got the section together in a large house called Rockshaws. We were there, obviously. You know, I've shown you the tin hat, the pith hat picture. We were there. Preparing.
Now, what preparations were you making for going overseas?
More or less just making sure we had everything we would need, you know, were up to whatever the clever word is, that whatever we were fully equipped, that we were up to our quota. There's a word for what what kit you should have. Preparing it, cleaning it, making sure it worked, counting it again, getting our tropical kit.
Now, what was tropical kit?
Well, tropical kit was the not pith, the sun helmet, a jacket, one pith jacket. Two jackets and two pairs of I'm trying to find the picture.
All right, they can't see it. Remember,
khaki. I'm trying to remind myself. It was helmet, linen, khaki linen jacket, khaki linen trousers, shorts and long trousers, presumably two of each. I think underwear remained the same, boots remained the same, and of course you had the pith helmet.
Did you get vaccinations?
Must have done. Don't remember them in detail, but yes, we must have done.
Embarkation leave?
You know, I don't remember it. Yes, we must have done. We must have had embarkation leave from Merstham, because... yes, we must have done, and I don't remember where I went. Presumably, to see my girlfriend in Southport.
Now, was there any question of getting married before you went over? Because some people get married before they go to war.
No, I'd only got engaged in the April. I mean, time was very odd those days. I mean, I'd only got engaged in the April. Before I went overseas in, I think, the June, 42. And we're into 42 now anyway. I've spent Christmas 41. I was in the Hendon Hall Hotel for Christmas 41, but then very shortly, soon after that, went to Merstham. Got engaged in April, went overseas in June. No question of getting married, no.